Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Gotta go. Love that comforts from heaven
above. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. Just a couple of quick announcements before we go to our guest, Peter DePalma. Kathleen McCarthy will be at St. Robert Bellarmine Church in Warrington, Pennsylvania, this coming Wednesday, April the 3rd, at 7 o'clock p.m. She'll be giving a talk entitled, Woman, Why Are You Weeping? Whom Are You Looking For? Again, that's our president here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, Kathleen McCarthy, who will be out at St. Robert Bellarmine next Wednesday, April the 3rd, at 7 o'clock. And then coming up on Sunday, April the 14th, is one of our annual fundraisers. It's the annual Wake Up America Dinner. It will take place at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. The afternoon goes from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. Kathleen McCarthy will be on hand as the keynote speaker. And we have a special guest this year in her son-in-law, Mark Houck, who is also running for Congress this year. So if you've not joined us in the past, you may want to think about it this year. You can get all the information about the dinner at our website, inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there to download a flyer that has all the information. And if you have any questions about the dinner, you can reach Maureen at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. So this is the last Wednesday of the month, and also happens to be Spy Wednesday as we get ready to roll into the Triduum. And so we're joined today by my good friend Peter DePalma. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Ken. Nice to be here in this beautiful Holy Week.
Amen. And we swapped a couple messages and over the course of the last week or so, and each month we talk about Luisa Picaretta and different aspects of her writings, and thought it was fitting today that we talk about one of her more popular writings, and that's the 24 Hours of the Passion. And it was kind of an honor. God, I mentioned to Peter right before we came on the air, you know, we've been doing this show for a while, and I've really neglected the fact that we haven't been praying or saying a prayer at the beginning of the show. And we're gonna change all that today. So in the volume published by Luisa, written by Luisa, her interactions with Jesus, it's called The 24 Hours of the Passion. And in there is a prayer, actually two prayers, one to pray before each hour and a thanksgiving prayer after each hour. So we thought we'd start with the preparation before each hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O my Lord Jesus Christ, prostrate in your divine presence, I implore your most loving heart to admit me to the sorrowful meditation of the 24 hours in which, for love of us, you wanted to suffer so much in your adorable body and in your most holy soul unto death on the cross. O please give me help, grace, love, deep compassion, and understanding of your sufferings as I now meditate these hours. And for those which I cannot meditate, I offer you my will to meditate them, and I willingly intend to meditate them in all the hours in which I have to apply myself to my duties or sleep. Accept, O merciful Lord, my loving intention, and let it be beneficial for me and for all, as if I effectively and in a saintly way accomplished what I wished to practice. Meanwhile, I give you thanks, O my Jesus, for calling me to union with you by means of prayer. And to please you more, I take your thoughts, your tongue, your heart, and with this I intend to pray, fusing all of myself in your will and in your love, and stretching out my arms to hug you, I place my head on your heart, and I begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And you know, I'm sure, Peter, you're real familiar with divine will clocks and I'm part of one, actually a woman that had joined our Senacle in the morning from Wisconsin, keeps track of 48 of us and making sure that we all got the, that we move up an hour every 15 days or so. And so I try to get to my hour every day. I've had to go to confession a few times and confess that I neglected to get and meditate on my hour, but I try to get to it most days. And I haven't done this now for probably a little over a year. It's been life-changing to understand what our Lord was willing to go through in order to not only redeem us, but to open the gates of heaven to us. So I'm thankful for having been introduced and actually spent quite a bit of time in these hours. How about you? Peter? Did I lose you, Peter?
You know, Ken, the most beautiful thing about this that I find with the Hours of the Passion is we get to see firsthand and listen to Jesus as he wishes to be with us individually as well as collectively. See, there is the communion of saints, which I think the divine will, the gift of the divine will is the epitome of the communion of saints. That's not a theological statement, but that's my own personal opinion. But he also wants that binding relationship individually with us. And that will be always different because we're all so, I mean, our irises are different. So his relationship with me is going to be slightly different than you can. I'm not saying greater, less. It's not a matter of that. It's just different. Depending on our dispositions, depending on our experiences, depending on our desire, so many factors. But he's there for us. He's always been there. If you and I were God, we would have given up on humanity a long time ago. He's still there. And then what does he do? He gives us at the end of all this, he gives us the greatest gift that not only he has given to mankind, but it's the greatest gift he can give to mankind. So there's nothing more to aspire for. Hence, heaven is on earth. In heaven, there's no aspiration because they have everything. They have everything. They're fully content. He's giving us that on earth. Again, it's going to take a while for some of us. Some of us can be instantly. It all depends and driven on by our desire. And the more we know, of course, the more knowledge we have, the more desire we have, and the more we're going to love our Lord.
Amen. So I don't know if there's anybody that's joining us for the first time on this Divine Will Wednesday, but you know, each month we talk about the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, and Jesus for a few decades would visit her on a pretty regular basis, and they would have conversations, and he would reveal many things to her, most importantly the gift of the divine will, which is the fulfillment of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, the only prayer that that Jesus gave directly to his apostles, right, when the apostles asked him how to pray. And so thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in going through Louisa's writings, some 10,000 pages plus, that's what it's all about and how that can be and will be accomplished here on earth. And one of those volumes is these 24 Hours of the Passion, where Jesus walked Louisa through each hour. And like I said, it's a moving testament to what Jesus was willing to go through for us. I highly recommend that you download it. You can actually go out to Peter's website, queenofthedivinewill.org. If you do a search on 24 Hours of the Passion, you can find it out there, both the text in a PDF file as well as the audio, if you happen to want to listen to it in the car or anywhere, really. You can download it. And every bit of it is moving, some sections more than others. But just to give you an idea of how moving it is, it's called The Presentation in a little document that I don't know if I got it from your website or another, Peter, where it's called The Presentation. And just real quick, it reads, "It happened that on one occasion, St. Honorable de Francia went to Louisa's house and recounted what had taken place on one of his visits with the Pope. Being an intimate friend of Pope Pius X, he was frequently received by him." Now, this is St. Honorable de Francia, who was one of Louisa's confessors, probably the most important of all of them. "While with him, he wanted to introduce him to the book, The Hours of the Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, which he had been spreading. So St. Honorable read a few pages of it to the Pope, specifically from the hour of the crucifixion. At a certain point, the Pope interrupted him, saying, "Father, this book should be read while kneeling. It is Jesus Christ who is speaking." And when you read these 24 hours and you see and read or listen to what Jesus was speaking to Louisa, and the torture and the turmoil and the anxiety and the humiliation and everything that he went through over the course of those 24 hours, you can't help but come to understand how much God really loves you. I've written a couple of articles over the last 2 weeks on my Substack account. Do you know how much God loves you? And last week I wrote about the crowning of thorns, and the week before I wrote about the scourging. And I think, you know, we get an idea, Peter, of what they were. But until I guess first it was with Mel Gibson's version of the Passion based on Anne Catherine Emmerich, and you see some of it. But when you read what Jesus spoke to Louisa about it, and how in the scourging, you know, it's not one person, it's not two people, it's six people that took turns, you know, scourging his holy body. And then he wasn't crowned once, not twice, but three times. That crown of thorns was jammed onto his head. I'm speechless as to, you know, how much he was willing to go through for us. And it really wasn't until I started going through the 24 hours of the Passion in Louisa's writings that I really came to understand that.
And, you know, Ken, that's externally, and it was so moving and so horrific. And now what he's doing, what our blessed Lord is doing, is he's giving us an opportunity to understand the interior nature of himself. And, you know, so it reminds me of that movie when I was a kid. It was called The Fantastic Voyage, where these scientists, these doctors get into a little submarine. They go into the vein. They're able to explore inside the body for the first time. God is bringing us closer to him than anyone has ever been. I mean, again, I'm excluding, of course, his Holy Mother and Adam and Eve, but no one has been as close to our blessed Lord as this magnet that's drawing in just a few people. Again, just to get that intimate relationship back, sort of like a cog. You know, the main cog, Jesus, he's always been moving. If Adam and Eve disconnected, he's allowing us to connect again. Again, not because we're special, we're not. Maybe we're because we're the bottom of the barrel. Perhaps that's why we've been chosen. But anyone who's been given the at least the title of the gift of living in the divine will has been given a grace. Now it's up to us to investigate. Again, Jesus says it's impossible to treasure something we have very little knowledge of. So he sometimes can infuse the knowledge, but most times he's going to let the natural order play out. And again, he's looking for our desire. Do we really want this? And of course, Louisa was the expert example of that. She wanted it more than anything else in life. And that's where we need to strive for.
Yeah. And so this all takes place in, early on in the interactions between Jesus and Louisa, Peter? Relatively early on?
Yeah. I mean, this is very early. Actually, she's young. This is the first time she actually witnesses or actually sees our blessed Lord in this vision from the balcony. He's carrying the cross, and he looks at her. He actually makes eye contact, says, "Soul, help me," for the first time, and then she faints. He said it later one other time. You know, he cried out, "Soul, help me." Again, that's all he did. Now, think about the opportunity that we have if we're not engulfed in the divine will, if we haven't given it the time, or if we haven't given time to recognize it. Maybe during this Holy Week, just meditate on our Lord right now crying out to each and every one of us, "Soul, help me." And how can we help him? We can help him by understanding the divine will, to bring everything back to that order, place, and the purpose. God doesn't do things incompletely. He doesn't do things incorrectly. Again, everything's been put on pause, and he's waiting for this to be reenacted, to be re-energized. And again, he's waiting for us, each and every one of us. So that's the greatest gift we can give him, and that's the greatest thing we can do during this Holy Week as well.
So if somebody isn't familiar with Louisa's writings or the 24 hours of the Passion, is there a suggested way to get started, or just download the volume and go for it?
Yeah, I would download, if you can, the text and the audiobook. And by the way, let me just preface also, anything that's available via download, if we have the opportunity to either download it to a hard drive, a thumb drive, print it out, do something, it's highly recommended because, again, we're not worried, but there's a possibility that there may be some interruption with the internet. And if so, we want to have access to these. Like, for example, we have all 36 volumes printed out. So, again, it's easy. Thumb drive today, I think, is $3, $4. You can put a lot of data on that. Save as much as you can. Back it up. But I would do that. Yeah, Hours of the Passion in audio, I love it. I love the text. But I also love the introduction. Read the introduction because the introduction is like the appetizer to the meal. It's really going to whet your appetite. It's going to get your digestive system, your mastication system ready and really ready to go. I read the introduction almost every time before I read the Hours of the Passion because, again, just I'm startled. I mean, again, this is done by a saint. And you mentioned St. Hannibal was also the spiritual counsel and director to Melanie Calvert, the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition. Also the founder of two religious orders, the Daughters of Divine Zeal and the Rogationist Father. So, again, this is not this is no slouch. This is St. Hannibal de Francia. And this is what he writes. In fact, he says in the introduction, quote, "This special inspiration received by this soul offers a new and very profitable method for contemplating the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. This method allows us to recall to mind one by one the 24 hours spanning from 5 p.m. of Holy Thursday to 5 p.m. of Good Friday. And it helps us to meditate hour by hour on what Jesus sequentially suffered during those 24 hours," end quote. We do it meditatively. We ask for the grace of contemplation. God opens up a brand new chapter. Again, it's the explication. Not new. It's always been there, but perhaps it wasn't understood. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, and you know, and it's always been there, but not as available as it is today, I think. Again, I think
absolutely.
With Mel Gibson's movie and maybe not a whole lot of people knew about Anne Catherine Emmerich and the Dolores Passion, and that became relatively popular when the Passion came out. But I think as more and more people are learning about Louisa and St. Hannibal de Francia and this volume, there's detail in here that goes far deeper than anything that was in the movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And
in fact, you know what? One other thing, Ken, that Father Nuzzi mentions, he says, for those of us who don't have a lot of time, because again, God has given us other responsibilities as well. We cannot neglect those. He says, for those who have very little amounts of time to spend reading and pondering on the writings of Louisa, he says, if you have to start with the Hours of the Passion, because it's the greatest opportunity to intimately be connected with our Lord, not in a platonic way, but in a mystical, real way, where, again, he's going to take us inside, like that incredible voice, like that movie. He's going to take us inside the depths of his soul, of his mind, and of his heart. And again, this is not available anywhere. It's never been offered to anyone, and he's doing it now. And perhaps, you know, when things are bad, God always neutralizes and counters everything with grace. So things have perhaps gotten so bad that he had to pull out all the stops, raise the bar and say, listen, I have to give you this. You do this and I'll do that. He wants to save everyone. And he's going to do it, again, without invalidating our free will. But not all are going to be saved. But again, that's not going to be his choice. But of course, the individual's choice. But let's not make that choice. We want to be saved. We want to live forever with our blessed Lord, our blessed Lady.
Very good. I want to share this week in our Cenacle in the Morning with Maureen, and I think we're over 30, maybe even up to 35 people now, Peter, that are getting on that Cenacle each morning. And we've been reading the supplemental text that go along with the hours that's in the back of the book. And in the 16th hour, so this would be the hour from 8 to 9 a.m., where Jesus is brought back to Pilate and placed after Barabbas, and Jesus is going to be scourged. And just to give it our listeners an idea of what's in here, now this is Louisa. "Afterwards, I followed the hours of the Passion, and I followed my sweet Jesus in the act in which he was clothed and treated as a madman. My mind was wandering in this mystery, and Jesus told me, so this is Jesus speaking to Louisa, and this is taken from April 1st, 1922 in volume 14. My daughter, the most humiliating step of my passion was precisely this, being clothed and treated as a madman. I became the amusement of the Jews, their rag, greater humiliation my infinite wisdom could not bear. Yet it was necessary that I, Son of God, suffer this pain. By sinning, man becomes mad. Greater madness there cannot be. And from the king he is, he becomes the slave and the amusement of most vile passions, which tyrannize him, and, more than madman, chain him as they please, casting him into mud, and covering him with the most filthy things. Oh, what great madness sin is! In this state, man could never be admitted before the Supreme Majesty. Therefore, I myself wanted to bear this pain, so humiliating, in order to plead for man that he might leave this state of madness, offering myself to my celestial Father to bear the pains which the madness of man deserved. Each pain I suffered in my passion was nothing other than the echo of the pains which creatures deserved. That echo boomed over me and subjected me to pains, to scorns, to derisions, to mockeries, and to all torments. End quote. And Peter, I've shared with some folks over the past month or so, and it didn't come from Louisa's writings. It was actually listening to Father Chad Ripperger, and he talks about, you know, 8 billion people being in the world, and if each of us only sins once a day, that's still 8 billion times we offend God. And when I heard this being read just this morning by one of the women in the Cenacle, I was actually driving in the car on my way to South Philly, and they treated him like a madman, and yet we're the madmen. We're the ones that, you know, lead lives of sin, hopefully not as sinful as I was last year, and definitely not as bad as I was 30 years ago, but, you know, still a sinful person. And that in that, you know, Jesus himself, you know, we're like madmen. We do these things, and the punishment that we deserve, he was willing to take all that on. And to have him explain it to Louisa in such a stark way, in this stark reality, and yet he was willing to suffer the greatest of all humiliations in order to redeem us, in order to, like I say, open the gates of heaven to us and allow us to be admitted before the Supreme Majesty.
And he set the bar so high, Ken, that no matter how much we suffer, we can never come close to what he did. So, again, he's given us the entire field in which to give and to take. We give ourselves and we take what's his. And he says everything is there for us. It's just so beautiful. And, you know, real quick, I know we're coming up on the break, but again, St. Hannibal de Francia, he says in this introduction to the Hours of the Passion, quote, "At times this solitary soul, Louisa, introduces in her book the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. When this happens, she no longer conveys her particular feelings, but rather a divine message." End quote. I still can't get my arms around that. These are divine messages. These we're hearing directly from Jesus. And in fact, in the three appeals, we're hearing also directly from God the Father. You can't make this up. This is so spellbinding that many will reject it just because they just fail to they just say this cannot be true. It's too good to be true. But again, with God, is anything possible? Absolutely.
Amen. And like I said, for me, these 24 hours of the Passion have been life changing, and I think a lot of folks that are in recovery, like myself, and this is how it came to me to begin with, when I heard about Daniel O'Connor's book and Thy Will Be Done, and I think about the millions and millions of times that phrase is said in 12-step meetings every day, you know, Thy will, not mine, be done, because they will tack it on to the end of the Serenity Prayer or what have you. And, you know, this is exactly what all this is about. This is all about trying to live out God's will, to live that divine will. And we've spent centuries, I think up until the time of Louisa, trying to do God's will. And now we're at a point where we're starting to learn about how we can actually live the divine will, not just try to do what God asks us to do. So on that note, we're at the bottom of the hour, Peter. So how about if we take a break now, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion. And maybe we can take some phone calls. If anybody's got a question or comment, you can reach us at 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for 40 years now. So thank you again for all that you do for us. Our guest today is Peter DePalma. We're talking about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will, as we do each month on the last Wednesday of the month. And today we've been talking a little bit about the 24 Hours of the Passion, a volume separate from the 36 volumes that Louisa had compiled, dealing strictly with the Passion of our Lord. So, Peter, it's always good to have you, brother. And
it's always a pleasure, Ken.
Yeah, and I think next month you had mentioned we're going to have smiling and joy-filled Sister Francesca.
That's our intention. Now, she's coming stateside, so she may have a conflict with family, of course, which won't possess all her hours, which I don't blame them for.
Right.
So we'll see. If it's not Sister, well, we may have perhaps another one of the sisters with us.
Very good. For those that may not be aware, we've had Mother Gabriel and Sister Francesca on, both Benedictine Sisters of the Divine Will. And up until last fall, they were stationed in Italy, and they were able to procure some land in Marysville, Tennessee. And Mother Gabriel and a few of the sisters have already made the transition from Italy back to stateside. And looks like Sister Francesca will be joining them. You can learn about the sisters at, I had the website, Benedictine Sisters DivineWill.org. Great website in addition to Peter's. That's got some information about the sisters, and especially if you're interested in becoming an oblate, whether it's religious or lay. Many of us have become Benedictine oblates of the Divine Will, and on the sisters' website, they have all the information there to learn more about that. So,
meetings, no dues, no hassle. It's really a great. It's just another opportunity to give another fiat to our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady. But yeah, definitely check it out. It's really nice. It's
Yeah, and I think in Mother Gabriel's explanation, it's basically you commit to spending 30 minutes a day with Louisa's writings, whether it's volumes 1 to 36, the Hours of the Passion, the Blessed Mother in the Divine Kingdom, but just to spend a half hour each day becoming more and more familiar with this gift of the Divine Will.
So if you're listening to this program and you're an oblate, you've already fulfilled your daily obligation.
There you go. So we've talked a little bit about the hours in detail. Do you have something in particular you want to talk about, Peter?
Well, Ken, I'd like to jump. We've spoken about, St. Hannibal's participation in this introduction to the gift of this, the Hours of the Passion. He also shared a letter from Louisa. So I'd like to read Louisa's text. Again, this is someone who knows this gift better than anyone. And she was the one that was selected by God amongst all souls to introduce this to all of humanity. This is what Louisa said, quote, and she's talking about these Hours of the Passion, quote, "I believe that anyone can reap much benefit from this meditation. The sinner would turn to God. The imperfect would become perfect. The saint would become holier. Those who are tempted would find victory. Those who are ill would find strength, medicine, and comfort. And those who have feeble souls would find spiritual food as well as a mirror reflecting glimpses of beauty and perfection on which to model their lives in light of the ideal presented by Jesus." End quote. It sums it all up. What an opportunity.
Amen. And again, I think about the folks in recovery, and they're wondering, we often wonder, what is God's will, and how do we determine what God's will is for us, and how do we discern what to do and what not to do. And, Louisa tells us right here, right, that if we model ourselves over the self-sacrificing Lord of ours and understand the lengths that he was willing to go to for us, that, we're not called to go, quite that far in order to help our brothers and sisters on the path, but we can certainly look at what he's done and do those little things that not only help ourselves but help so many others.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, Ken, that, you know, when you talk about, you know, doing the will of God, we all have to do the will of God, of course, before we can possess it. But that can take some challenges because, you know, we may be we might micromanage ourselves. We may be looking too intrinsically into it. But basically, Jesus gave us a great explanation as to what does it mean? Like, how do I determine, how do I do your will so that I may possess it? And he gave a sort of parable answer. He said, well, when you're tired, don't try to stay awake. And when you're awake, don't try to sleep. So whatever's been given to you by God, because every heartbeat, every breath of our lungs, every flow of our blood, it's all the divine will keeping us going. And when we say and reflect that Adam and Eve, they lost everything when they fell, they did, but they didn't. God kept the divine will beating the heart, flowing the blood, and breathing the lungs. Otherwise, there would have been no passing on of this original sin, thus no opportunity for redemption, and hence no opportunity now for this era of sanctification. So he did lose everything, but he didn't lose everything. This little umbilical cord was still there, and God says, you know, I've got to cut the cord. You've got to come back fully, totally, and here's how. It takes very little effort by us. It takes a whole lot of trust and very little effort, I think. Yeah.
Now, and... But you have to get started, and I think for a lot of people it's, you know, this all sounds good, and I want to do it, but you know I just don't know where to begin, and that was me 30 years ago after I made that first retreat, and the Holy Spirit set me on fire, and I, you know, went off on this venture on my own trying to figure out what it is. I built up a whole library of books that I never even opened, thinking that sooner or later I would get to them. And when I got to them, I'd find that one paragraph, that one sentence that would make all the difference in my spiritual life. And here, you know, 30 years later, I finally found it. And it wasn't in a single book that I purchased. It was in books that I downloaded off of a website. But, you know, I didn't find out about it 30 years ago, and God didn't put you and Daniel O'Connor and Maureen Lamedy and some of those other people in my life at that time. And it had to be the right moment a couple of years ago, I guess, when everything came into focus and God saw fit to allow me to learn about it.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we can't, you know, when you mentioned about, you know, we have to start somewhere, that's true. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of different opinions as to where you start. But honestly, my opinion is it doesn't matter really where you start. Some may resonate and like to start with the Hours of the Passion. Some perhaps with the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. Some with the volumes. Again, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's like this is God's mansion. We have to get in. It doesn't matter whether you use the front door, the back door, or any of the windows that Our Lady opens. We just have to get in. And, you know, another encouragement, Ken, if I can, I read this almost every day. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. This is Blessed Jesus talking to Louisa and speaking to us, saying, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, all circumstances, and in every place," end quote. I mean, how great is that? We don't have to go chasing butterflies. It's here if we want it. To everyone. That's incredible.
Yeah. And if somebody's listening and you think you may want to get started and not sure how, one of the ways you could do it might be to join my cenacle or our cenacle that we have each morning from 6 a.m. to 7:30 in the morning. I know when I first heard that, I actually put it off for a month, and before I got a follow-up call from Maureen, inviting me again, and I get on there most mornings now, and they have it that early because I think almost everybody in the cenacle makes daily mass, and by ending by at 7:30 in the morning, folks still have an opportunity to get the daily mass. If you're interested in that, you can send me an email at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. And I can send you the information on how to get on that call in the morning and the documentation and that you'll need in order to follow along. Peter also has a much larger mailing list than we do, and has a couple of different groups throughout the week that he pulls together. And the best way to get in touch with you, Peter, is?
Probably be email. Be maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. So basically maryshill at our website name, which is queenofthedivinewill.org. Or they can call me. I don't mind giving my phone number. It's 610-895-4037.
Very good. And I think in Peter's rotation now, he does a Cenacle on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock on The Exile. He's got his Mother Gabriel on Thursday and most Sundays. Mother Gabriel were the sisters, Benedictine Sisters of the Divine Will. And then you host a number of other Cenacles, Peter, with individual groups?
Well, we also have the e-book series where we take Father Henry's dissertation on Friday evening. Yeah, we've got about maybe six or seven smaller Cenacles in small remote places like China, Guam, the Marianas Islands. I mean, just small places. You know, sometimes there's three people, sometimes there's eight people. Yeah. But again, just little seeds everywhere.
How's
that? It's beautiful.
Yeah. How's that group in Nome, Alaska?
They're doing well. Again, you know, it's a really difficult life there. I mean, of course they're used to it, but if we looked at it, I mean, we would never be able to last a couple hours. But again, if you had to look at this gift of the divine will and just think of one word that you can give to everyone, it would be hope. This is the greatest hope that we can possibly have, because it's for all of us, it's for all of eternity, and really God is doing all the work. We're just allowing him to do it in through and with us.
And how...
It's incredible. And you know what's also good, Ken? I want to sneak this in if I can. We don't have to know this perfectly. We want to be called children of my kingdom, of God's kingdom. And he tells us in volume 23, February 28, 1928, he says, every additional knowledge about my divine will is a new creation that it forms in the creature of happiness and unreachable beauty. However, all these who have acquired these knowledges, whether in full or in part, will have the noble title of children of my kingdom, end quote. We don't have to know this perfectly. The perfection will come later.
No, and I think just by being aware of it and the fact that it's available to us, it makes all the difference. How many things do we find out about in life? And it can be, you know, I'll give you an example. And I know my wife never listens to the show, but she had a significant birthday the other week and turned 65. And here in Philadelphia, I think it's actually in Pennsylvania, when you turn 65, you can get a free a card that gives you a free rail and bus and subway all throughout the state. It's not just here in Philadelphia with SEPTA, but I think anywhere where there's, you know, public buses and transportation and what have you in the state. But I promise you that there's a lot of people that don't know about it. And so simply by knowing about it, you can make a phone call and figure out how to get the card and go and get it. And there's your way to travel, in theory, all over southeastern Pennsylvania without having to own a car. And it's hidden unless somebody tells you about it or you actually seek it out. And the gift of the divine will is basically the same. I knew nothing about it until I happened to see a piece of paper on my desk here at the radio a couple of summers ago that mentioned Daniel O'Connor and a talk that he was given at a charismatic conference, and then I was introduced to the gift, and I've just been amazed over the past couple of years the number of people that have continued to learn about it. I think a lot of it had to do with COVID and the lockdowns and people figuring out how to use technology in order to, you know, spread the word. And I think most of what goes on now with the divine will, that I think there's a whole lot more people that are meeting virtually, whether it's via a conference call or over internet technology, than or meeting in person. And so definitely see, just in my short time, quite an escalation in the number of people that have starting to learn about this gift and actively seeking it out.
Well, Jesus said there'll be very few in the beginning, and then, of course, it'll spread. Actually, he tells us that in volume 12. I don't know if I have that, but he says it'll first, he says the era, here it is, volume 12, January 24th, 1921. Jesus tells the Luisa, quote, so shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate within you, Luisa. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest will have knowledge of it. Then a few souls. And then it shall spread. It shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption. And the great news there is you don't have to be a priest. I mean, it says, so shall the third fiat be with you. It'll germinate with you, Luisa. That's happened. Only the priests will have knowledge of it. That happened. St. Hannibal, he published. He started this all off. Then a few souls. Hopefully that's us. Mm-hmm. So we pray. This is available. Again, this is available to everyone in all situations, all conditions, all circumstances. That's not my words. Those are Jesus' words. Yeah. And he doesn't mince words. He doesn't schmooze things. He tells it the way it is, the reality of it. So we have to believe this. We have to trust this. It's faith.
Amen.
And faith is God. States Jesus in volume 2. I don't know what passage.
Yeah. And so we kicked off the show talking about the 24 hours of the Passion, especially since we're headed into the Triduum beginning tomorrow. And I always try to set aside some time on Good Friday to spend time with our Lord. In the past, I've usually used somebody's writings, whether it was Father Conal Mesa or somebody else on Jesus' seven last words, but last year and again this year, I'll be using the 24 hours of the Passion. And maybe, Peter, some thoughts on what you've gotten from the 24 hours. And I know in the volume itself, the one that you download, it has Louisa's writings, her interactions with Jesus, and then St. Honorable DeFrancia, who ended up doing the initial printing and distributing, adds his own reflections and practices to each of the hours. But maybe a particular passage or something you've learned that through the 24 hours of the Passion, Peter, that's had a significant impact on you.
Well, you know, Ken, every time I read one passage, they'll say, "Wow, this is the most startling. This is the most has the most gravity." And then 10 minutes later, it'll be something else. So, yeah, I can't single out something specific, but I can do this. I can go back to that introduction, which I find so fascinating and usually most overlooked. This is Saint Hannibal DeFrancia explaining about those participating. And participating is reading, listening, meditating, praying on these hours of the Passion. He says, quote, this co-redeeming soul, he's calling us co-redeemers, this co-redeeming soul plunges, I dare to say, into each pain of our Lord. She first measures, as far as it is allowed to a human being, the infinite divine abyss. Then she unites her intentions to the redeeming intentions of the suffering man God. And later, she offers the entire package to Jesus, to the Father, and to the divine justice for each and everyone's sins. We are talking here of a great, necessary, and universal reparations desperately needed in our times because of the multitude of inequities of the present generations. End quote. That moves me to read these hours.
Yeah, and when you think about present generations, this would have been the early 1900s. You know, we're a couple generations past the generation where he's talking about it. And how far worse is it today? The amount of blasphemy that's going on. The fewer and fewer people that are coming to church, fewer and fewer people believing in the true presence, and that just the outright offenses that are taking place with our Lord. So 100 years later, it definitely hasn't gotten better. It's gotten a whole lot worse. And so if reparation was required 100 years ago, you know, I think about how much reparation is needed for today. And it took me a little while to wrap my head around that, because so many times throughout the writings we read about how we can do it not only for ourselves and not only for our living brothers and sisters, but we can make reparations for all those in the past and even all those that are going to offend our Lord in the future. And when I first read about it, I was like, well, how can you do that? And it's like, well, Jesus did it. That's what he did in his passion and in the crucifixion. He didn't do it just for the people that were alive at that time. He did it for everyone that came before him and everybody that came after him. And now he invites us to do the same. And we don't have to experience our own passion. We just have to put ourselves into it, meditate on it, and then offer it back to the Father, just like Jesus did when he was actually going through it.
That's right. Our Lord's timing, of course, is perfect. He waited to allow the thistle and the wheat to be together, and hopefully the thistle would become wheat, and the wheat would stay wheat. But many have stated, learned people in the church, they state that once you broach past three generations of a lost faith, the faith is gone. It's dead. Mm-hmm. And this is the third generation. And something was needed. Something spectacular needed. There had to be an awakening. And again, this is the gift of the divine will. Jesus promises us justice. He promises us the chastisements. And if you want to read about that, if you have Father Nuzzi's dissertation, go to page 264 and 265. Father Nuzzi's plucked them out of all the volumes and it looks, explain what our Lord is explaining to us, preempting us to prepare for. I mean, he actually said entire cities will be swallowed. Again, whether this comes out to be reality or a minor image of that, again, these are desperate times. So desperate, I wouldn't say desperate, so incredible gifts were needed, and he gave it. He delivered, as he always does.
Yeah, and we have kind of seen it. I mean, we've seen floods in a couple different parts of the world over the last few months, and volcanoes erupting again in Iceland. We've got earthquakes again happening throughout Asia and Eastern Europe. So, you know, whether or not these are all part of what Father Iannuzzi and Jesus and Louisa were talking about, we're not certain. But, you know, one thing is for certain is that I think we're at a desperate point now in this world when it comes to the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And like you said, you know, we're almost three generations removed. And, you know, I think of how many kids today that are being born and not baptized. You know, we'll leave it up to them when they get older, whether or not they want to come into the faith. And, you know, people that aren't catechized can't give the catechesis to their children. And,
right.
You know, the further right. we are away. So the awakening is coming, brother. And what a joy it is to be a part of it. And it's, you know, thanks to folks like you and Deacon John Thompson and many of the others that, you know, really have dedicated their lives to spreading the word about this gift of the divine will. So we got just a couple minutes left, Peter. Any final words before we let you go?
Well, I just think it's an example, the greatest example of God's humor, as he really chooses the lowly to come with some mouthpieces. What I would say is this: well, you mentioned some of the chastisements, such as the earthquakes and some of these physical things. I think that'll be nothing compared to what some folks who want to do demonic things are planning for the civilization. I mean, it's unbelievable, and it's going to affect everyone. It'll have an impact on everyone, almost everyone, and there'll really be no place to run except that blue mantle of Our Lady. Really, our options are going to be very limited. So God's given us time now to voluntarily sort of join this army. And don't wait to get recruited, because again, God's given us everything. He's given us all the signs. We have all the mystics that have gone before us. Our Blessed Mother's told us everything that's going to happen in advance. Trust Jesus. Have confidence in Jesus. There's nothing that's real except God. Amen. So please join.
Amen.
At least investigate. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Peter. I'm going to close with the Thanksgiving prayer that is in the book that we use after each hour. And it reads, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My lovable Jesus, you have called me in this hour of your passion to keep you company, and I have come. I seem to hear you praying, repairing, and suffering, in anguish and sorrow, pleading for the salvation of souls in the most touching and eloquent voices. I try to follow you in everything, and now, having to leave you for my usual occupations, I feel the duty to say to you, thank you, and I bless you. Yes, O Jesus, I repeat to you, thank you, thousands and thousands of times, and I bless you for all that you have done and suffered for me and for all. I thank you and I bless you for every drop of blood you shed, for every breath, for every heartbeat, for every step, word, glance, bitterness, and offense which you endured. In everything, O my Jesus, I intend to seal you with a thank you and an I bless you. Please, O Jesus, let my whole being send you a continuous flow of thanks and blessings, so as to draw upon me and upon everyone the flow of your blessings and thanks. Please, O Jesus, press me to your heart, and with your most holy hands seal every particle of my being with your I bless you, so that nothing other than a continuous hymn to you may come from me. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter, happy Easter to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to join us today, and a happy Easter to you. I look forward to being back with you again in Easter. We'll be in the middle of the octave next Wednesday. So until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.